KOMO Seattle.
KOMO FM Oakville.
20 minutes of nonstop news starts now.
Here's what's coming up.
I'm Brian Calvert. We're now able to confirm a case of that new COVID strain, as well as worries it's already spreading.
I'm Corwin Hake. Biased Seattle cop is fired. Question is, will he stay fired?
It's 6 o'clock, and here's ABC News.
From ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Inauguration Day is always a big deal in Washington, but this year it's an even bigger deal than normal because of the security all over the nation's capital. ABC's Alex Stone is there.
Efforts are underway right now to make sure there will not be a threat from the inside. 25,000 National Guard members from all over the country are arriving here, and the FBI has to make sure none is a threat. Secretary of the Army Ryan McCarthy.
We're continually going through the process and taking second, third looks at every one of the individuals assigned to this operation.
Alex Stone, ABC News, Washington.
The other big event in Washington this week, Donald Trump's impeachment trial.
A Senate impeachment trial could get underway as early as Wednesday or Thursday, but President Trump's legal team is not yet set. His personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, telling ABC late Sunday night he will not be on the impeachment legal team, even after he was spotted at the White House this weekend and told ABC he was working on the case. But Giuliani now says that because he spoke at the rally on January 6th before the attack on the Capitol, he's a witness and cannot participate in court or in the Senate chamber. Lawyers who defended President Trump during the first impeachment trial are not expected to take part this time. Karen Travers, ABC News, Washington.
The head of the World Health Organization says the way the coronavirus vaccines are being distributed isn't fair.
It's not right that younger, healthier adults in rich countries are vaccinated before health workers and older people in poorer countries.
Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus calls it another brick in the wall of inequality between the world's haves and have-nots. 400,000 Americans have now died of COVID, and doctors are predicting that number will rise to 500,000 by mid-February. Vaccine supplies at those massive inoculation centers like Citi Field and Disneyland say they're running out of doses quickly and having to wait for supplies. You're listening to ABC News.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The KOMO Morning News.
6:02 right now, Monday morning, with cloudy skies to start the day here in Western Washington, and the temperature is 44 degrees.
With Greg Herschelt, I'm Amanda Factor. Here are the top stories from the KOMO 24/7 News Center.
The State Health Department reported some new COVID numbers yesterday after not being able to on Saturday because of a computer problem. And the new count features 1,817 new cases of the virus. The agency warns numbers won't be reported again today because of the holiday.
And the COVID-19 variant that has closed much of the UK is now here in the Pacific Northwest.
We learn more from KOMO's Brian Calvert, who says we have at least one confirmed case here.
The announcement was made over the weekend. The COVID variant is here with a confirmed case in Oregon. This strain of COVID spreads much faster. A staff member at the University of Portland is said to be the first known victim, although Dr. Carlos Crespo says many more here in our region could have this.
And if you're getting a test, you might get a false negative, because this new variant is not updated in the testing that we're doing now.
Some test labs are now updating to detect this variant. Others have not done so, meaning someone could have this but received a false negative and is back out there in public spreading it unknowingly. As for the man in Oregon with our first confirmed case,
as far as where he may have actually contracted it, that is still being looked at.
Michael Llewellyn is a spokesperson for the U of P and says so far the man has not experienced anything severe. Brian Calvert, KOMO News.
An emergency room nurse in Seattle has accused a Seattle police officer of refusing to wear a mask inside her hospital when asked to do so. The director of Seattle's Office of Police Accountability says the matter is being investigated and findings will be issued on a, quote, expedited timeline. The OPA has not named the officer nor the hospital where the alleged incident happened.
Governor Jay Inslee says all eight regions of our state will remain in phase one of his Healthy Washington reopening plan at least until January 25th. But Snohomish County Executive Dave Summers says if things get better in his county, he may ask to be excluded from the region that includes King and Pierce counties. Katie Curtis with the Snohomish Health District says this makes sense to have the counties grouped together.
A lot of our hospital systems are kind of spanning across those county borders anyways.
A spokesperson for Snohomish County says based on the current projections, that county will likely run out of doses of the vaccine before the end of next week.
KOMO News Time 6:04. Let's check the drive. Our KOMO traffic every 10 minutes on the 4s. From the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center, Tammy Bennett's in for Kiara.
Well, it looks like enough people had the day off that we're not experiencing any major concerns in traffic. I'm looking at Mount Vernon, Stanwood, Marysville, all the way down to Linwood, and southbound 5 is wide open and moving at the speed limit. Same with 405 all the way out of Mukilteo and down to the South Center area. Checking out Tacoma, not even seeing some slowing on northbound 5 through Tacoma. North 167 hesitates just for a second coming up on Highway 18. I guess I found the slow spot in the state. Everything else is just doing fine, and you shouldn't have any delays. You should be able to calculate your trip at 60 miles an hour. Another report coming up at 6:14. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
Our report this time is sponsored by Ole Ortho. The world-class physicians at Ole Ortho ask the South Sound, why take a long, stressful drive when Ole Ortho is right in your own backyard? Ole Ortho has your back. Your knee, your hip, your shoulder, you get it. OleOrtho.com, your life in motion.
Here's the Como forecast with meteorologist Kristen Clark.
So far this January has been trending warmer than normal, but that's about to change here the next couple of days as a cool down takes place later on this week. By this weekend, high temperatures could stay in the 30s in a few spots. And then as moisture begins to move into this colder air on Sunday, expecting a rain-snow mix for the lowlands. Now, not a significant amount of snow, but maybe an inch or two of slush accumulating as the rain-snow mix could continue Monday and Tuesday of next week. It bears some watching. In the Como Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Kristen Clark.
And right now in Tacoma, 42 degrees, Renton 42, and at SeaTac Airport under cloudy skies, it's still 44 degrees.
Como News Time 6:06. In Olympia, over the weekend, hundreds of National Guard members were on duty to protect the campus in the event of violent protests. This man was one of the few protesters.
We're making the statement, you can't do illegal things here. But we're also making the statement, our system works. So let's let it work. Let's have our fights inside that building with words, not around the building with clubs and fists and guns.
Chris Loftus with the State Patrol said initial intel suggested potential armed rallies converging on the Capitol at noon. No threat ever materialized.
There's no situation that we're aware of in any of the 50 capitals that is any different from what you're seeing here.
But authorities statewide aren't letting their guard down, and this heightened police presence leading up to Inauguration Day extends beyond the Capitol campus. In Olympia, we're told they've added extra officers through the weekend, and on Saturday in Seattle, police took no chances bringing out the bomb squad when a 34-year-old man told authorities he had a bomb in his truck parked next to the FBI headquarters.
That's Como's Patrick Quinn.
And that bomb threat did force the closure of part of downtown Seattle on Saturday afternoon. The owner of the truck claimed that there was a bomb, but there was no bomb, and he was arrested.
Right now, we just know that there's a heightened level of tension, and so we're trying to make sure that we're, you know, diligent in every little thing to make sure that there is no further threats to the city.
That's Seattle Police Chief Adrian Diaz. Authorities say there are no known specific threats to Seattle or to the state capitol ahead of Wednesday's presidential inauguration.
Police were prepared for crowds at the Oregon Capitol in Salem, but just a few dozen people showed up. Things were mostly calm, though at one point some armed protesters and counter-protesters argued. Our sister station in Portland reported seeing an armed group that referred to themselves as the Liberty Boys. They say they came to advocate only for gun rights.
A Seattle police officer was fired after he reached back to the 1970s to find a derogatory nickname for a black suspect.
Como's Corwin Hake explains.
The Seattle Times reports the unnamed Seattle officer was fired after he referred to the man as Kunta Kinte. That's the name of an enslaved black African in the Alex Haley novel and 1977 TV miniseries Roots. A summary from the Seattle Office of Professional Accountability says the officer used the Roots name plus a profanity after the incident during a discussion with fellow officers. Now the question is, will he stay fired? Last week, Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan complained before a legislative committee. Fired officers are often reinstated on appeal.
It is very unsettling to community and to officers if the decisions of a sheriff in chief can be overturned by an arbitrator without good cause.
Proposed state legislation aims to tighten the union-mandated arbitration process. Corwin Hake, Como News.
A bill being considered in the state legislature would automatically restore a person's right to vote after they are released from incarceration.
We get more on this from Como's Carlene Johnson.
If it passes, the Seattle Times reports an estimated 10,000 people in our state would immediately regain their right to vote. It was introduced at a public hearing last week and would replace the current process of having to apply and not getting to vote until all legal fees are paid off. It's sponsored by Democratic Representative Tara Simmons, a former felon who served time for drug-related issues.
I'm honored to be here today as a state representative, an honor that is directly tied
to my ability to successfully reenter the community after incarceration and become a voter again.
Now, Republican Representative Jenny Graham questioned whether someone convicted of taking another person's life should have the privilege to vote.
Do you really think that that is fair?
Simmons, the prime sponsor, cited research that indicates restoring civil rights has public safety benefits and reduces recidivism. Carlene Johnson, Como News.
Como News Time 610. Now, a sports update from the Beacon Plumbing Sports Desk with Tom Hutler.
In what may have been the final game in the remarkable career of Drew Brees, the New Orleans Saints were ousted from the playoffs yesterday by Tom Brady and Tampa Bay 30-20. In the NFC divisional playoff, Brees threw three interceptions among four Saints turnovers. Was it his last game?
I'll answer this question one time, and that is that I'm going to give myself an opportunity to think about the season, think about a lot of things, just like I did last year, and make a decision.
The Bucs advanced to the NFC Championship game in Green Bay. Over in the AFC, the Cleveland Browns fell behind, battled back, but came up short in a 22-17 loss at Kansas City. The Chiefs say star quarterback Patrick Mahomes, who was sidelined with a concussion in the third quarter, is doing fine. Backup Chad Henne, who is 35 years old, helped ice the game and move the Chiefs to their third straight AFC title game. Los Angeles Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley will become the new head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And Sarah Fuller, I don't know if that name's familiar to you, but she got the chance to kick for Vanderbilt, becoming the first woman to kick in a Power 5 conference college football game, and now is the only person who scored, only female who has scored a point in a game. And she says she's been invited to attend President-elect Joe Biden's inauguration. She posted on social media she was honored to be invited and noted the inauguration is especially meaningful for American women and girls. Sports at 10 to 40 past each hour. Tom Hutler, Como News.
Como News Time 6:11. We'll check traffic and weather here in just a couple of minutes. First, as more doses of the COVID-19 vaccine become available, some people are choosing not to get it, and that's raising a question. Medical reporter Liz Bonus explains.
Employment attorneys now say it is one of the top questions they are getting asked. If I don't choose to get the vaccine, can my employer make it mandatory to return to work?
Well, it's very complicated. The short answer is that yes, employers may require employees to get vaccinated with the COVID-19 vaccine.
For healthcare workers, perhaps nursing home workers or others, those who don't get the COVID-19 vaccine may be a real threat or danger to those around them. That's the basis employment attorney Faith Whitaker says your workplace can use to require the COVID-19 vaccine.
But there needs to be some exceptions for medical or religion.
That said, however, if most people step up, this might never be mandatory. However, an early survey so far, many states report what Ohio has found.
And what we've found is, for example, the nursing homes. We're seeing only about 40% of the people who work in nursing homes are taking the vaccine.
But just because the vaccine can be mandatory, right now business advisors, even for medical personnel, say that doesn't mean it should. You see, the FDA has only given emergency use authorization for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines. So these leaders admit,
when there's clear evidence and months of data collection to demonstrate that this is a safe vaccine, in future periods of time, and maybe even in future years, it may become mandatory. It depends.
In the meantime, those advising employers say education and perhaps a few other steps might be a better way to get more people to get the COVID-19 vaccine.
For employers, they need to have thorough assistance from counsel and advice from counsel to understand their risks and then also see whether or not it makes sense operationally to require that. And maybe if they don't require it, they could provide incentives for encouraging it.
Now, this is likely going to be an ongoing legal debate. The hope, of course, is that enough of us will step up to get it that are comfortable so we get herd immunity. That means about 70% of us would have to be vaccinated, which does mean we still have a ways to go. I'm medical reporter Liz Bonus.
Como News Time 6:14. We check traffic and weather every 10 minutes on the fours from the Dubin Law Group Traffic Center. Here's Tammy Bennett.
Well, I'm looking at the West Seattle Drive right now and not seeing much going on at the First Avenue South Bridge or 509. Those roadways seem to be wide open, but I am seeing an awful lot of congestion on Delridge just south of the West Seattle Golf Course. It goes all the way down to Rocks Hill, and you're going to be a little bit congested on Southwest Roxbury. But once you get to Olson and 509, things are good to go. And once you get onto I-5 in the area, things are good to go, too. We're wide open through Seattle. You can move it the speed limit here, north or southbound 5. Your next traffic report at 6:24. Tammy Bennett for Como News.
Our traffic this time is sponsored by Ole Ortho. The world-class physicians at Ole Ortho are now offering robotic joint replacement options so you don't have to take a long, stressful drive to Seattle or Portland. Robotic joint replacement options at Ole Ortho. Ole Ortho has your back, your knee, your hip, you get it. OleOrtho.com.
We have some relatively uneventful weather for the several days here this week. Our Como forecast calls for partly sunny skies today, a high temperature about 50, overnight lows in the mid-30s. So it'll be a little bit chilly for the next several nights because of those clear skies. Partly sunny again tomorrow with a high near 50, no mention of rain. A mostly cloudy day Wednesday, and a slight chance of some light rain on Thursday. Sort of a weak system moving in. Right now in the downtown Seattle, it's 44 degrees.
Stay connected. Stay informed. The Northwest's only 24-hour news station. Como News 1000, FM 97.7.
6:15, it's the Como Morning News for Monday, the 18th day of January. Frank Lindsay's at the editor's desk. Now with Greg Herschel, I'm Amanda Factor.
The U.S. Defense Department says it's worried about an insider attack or other threat from service members involved in securing Joe Biden's inauguration. And that concern has prompted the FBI to vet all 25,000 National Guard troops coming into Washington for the event this week. The massive undertaking reflects the extraordinary security concerns that have gripped Washington following the deadly insurrection January 6th at the Capitol. And it underscores fears that some of the very people assigned to protect the city over the next several days could present a threat to the incoming president and other VIPs in attendance.
President-elect Biden and his wife, Dr. Jill Biden, thanked their grassroots supporters in a pre-taped video during the We the People concert last night for their work during the campaign.
Even though our inauguration traditions look a little different this year, and we're all still together, though. United across all of America.
ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers is with us again this morning. Karen, where does the Biden administration start?
Yeah, they have a long list that Biden had laid out on the campaign trail, a big list of priorities that he said he wanted to get to on day one. And this is what they're going to try and do. So starting with asking the Department of Education to extend the existing pause on student loan payments and interest for millions of Americans. Biden's going to move to rejoin the Paris Climate Accord, which, of course, President Trump pulled the U.S. out of. He's going to move through executive action to end the Muslim ban, which is the president's restriction on immigration to the U.S. from some Muslim majority countries. We also expect that Biden will extend the nationwide restrictions on evictions and foreclosures. So this is a very aggressive to-do list for day one, but they say this is what he's going to do through executive actions that they say will be legal and within the constitutional role for the president. They also have a big plan for that legislative push on the $1.9 trillion COVID relief proposal that he laid out last week. He can't just do that himself. He needs Congress, of course, but they're going to push very hard. They want that to be the big signature legislative achievement within the first couple of months, for sure.
Meanwhile, President Trump could face a Senate impeachment trial shortly after the inauguration. How is that shaping up?
Yeah, I mean, this could be starting in earnest as early as Thursday. It's just kind of crazy to think how quickly this could be moving forward on day one, the first full day in office for Joe Biden. The big question now is who's going to defend the president? Because we don't know yet who his legal team will be. If you'd asked me this 48 hours ago, I would have said Rudy Giuliani is on the team because that's what he told us. And he was at the White House over the weekend. But late last night, he told ABC he will not be on the legal team because of his role in that rally before the attack at the Capitol. He says that makes him a witness. Remember, Giuliani spoke to that crowd. He really revved up that fired up crowd before the president spoke. And one of the things Giuliani said that day that got a lot of attention and has since then is he said, let's have a trial by combat related to the election challenges. He told us last night that because he is a witness to what happens, he can't take part in a defense in court or in the Senate chamber. So who will the lawyers be? We just don't know yet.
Has there been any talk of moving the inauguration festivities indoors to a safer place in the midst of all this tension in Washington?
There's talk about it. The Biden team over the weekend on the Sunday political shows were saying they're flexible, that they have every expectation and hope that the swearing-in will take place on the west front of the Capitol, as tradition holds. But I think they're giving themselves flexibility, and they could always move it inside if they felt that that was safer and they felt that that was necessary. But the latest word from the Biden team was that they are expecting and hoping to hold it outside.
We haven't seen much of President Trump recently. Mm-hmm. Do we expect to see him over the next couple of days?
not today, probably not tomorrow, but we will see him when he leaves the White House on Wednesday one final time. And there will be an event, a ceremony at Joint Base Andrews outside of Washington. The president's supporters, family, friends will be there to send him off on that last trip on Air Force One. We expect there to be a military send-off, similar to what we saw with President Obama, with service members lining a red carpet as he boards the plane. He will be in Florida before noon, before Joe Biden officially takes over.
All right, Karen, nice to speak with you again this morning. ABC News White House correspondent Karen Travers.
Today could be the day that the U.S. hits 400,000 coronavirus deaths. Johns Hopkins University puts that number at a little under 398,000 right now. Meantime, the American case count is nearing 24 million.
Como News Time 620. Time for the Propel Insurance Money Update. Although 2020 has brought some financial hardships to many people, credit scores are showing an increase among multiple age groups. Experian's 2020 Consumer Credit Review reports that millennials had the biggest increase to their credit scores. They added 11 points from last year's average. The top credit score average of 2020 belonged to the so-called silent generation, which is 75 and older, and they had a dramatically higher score than millennials.
Nestle is recalling more than 762,000 pounds of pepperoni pizza Hot Pockets after glass and hard plastic were found inside. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service says one person reported a minor injury. The packages say best before February 2022. They were sold between November 13th through the 16th of last year.
No trading on Wall Street or on the bond markets today because of the MLK holiday. And coming up next on the Como Morning News, we'll check traffic and weather.
Stay safe, Seattle. Social distancing and masks are important, but so is knowledge. Stay connected. Stay informed on all things COVID from Como News 1000, FM 97.7, and on your smart speaker. This is Como News.